Today's show is sponsored by CloudZero. For software-driven companies focused on growing margins, CloudZero is the only cloud cost intelligence platform that puts engineering in control by connecting technical decisions to business results. By analyzing cloud services like AWS and Snowflake, CloudZero provides real-time cost insights that help you maximize margins. Engineering teams can answer critical questions like, who are my most expensive customers? How much does this specific feature cost our business? What's the cost impact of re-architecting this application? With cost anomaly alerts via Slack, product-specific data views, and granular engineering context that makes it easy to investigate any cost, CloudZero is your complete cloud cost intelligence platform, connecting the dots between high-level trends and individual line items. Join companies like Drift, Rapid7, and SeatGeek by visiting cloudzero.com/cloudcast to get started today. That's cloudzero.com/cloudcast.
Cloudcast Media presents from the massive studios in Raleigh, North Carolina. This is The Cloudcast with Aaron Delp and Brian Gracely, bringing you the best of cloud computing from around the world.
Good morning, good evening, wherever you are, and welcome back to The Cloudcast. We're coming to you live from our massive Cloudcast studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And as I record this, it is the middle of May, and some really interesting news this week, which is good. As we've been saying, I think for the last couple weeks here, is a little bit slow for the spring, but things are starting to pick up here. The first one I wanted to highlight was actually our good friend Dave Vellante over at SiliconANGLE put out a really good analysis of Snowflake and their deal that they recently did with Dell, because it was a bit of a head scratcher for, I think, a lot of folks in the industry, because Snowflake famously was cloud only. And all of a sudden they're doing a deal with Dell. Why? And I think this is everyone kind of coming to the realization, of course, you know, the high growth areas in cloud. Cloud is where most of the new startups and new companies want to be, and that's where they want to build things out. But there's also still a big amount of data on-prem and in the enterprise. And a lot of times it is still on Dell hardware. So what they've done is actually kind of a creative solution if you read the analysis by Dave. They're accessing through Dell Object Store the data on-prem, still doing the analysis in the cloud. But it was an interesting take on how they were able to kind of combine the best of both worlds, if you will, of Snowflake's strengths and Dell's strengths as well. And they haven't given any details, but they are planning to do more with their partnerships in the future. So that's certainly something we're going to continue to keep an eye on. And moving on to our second news article, this one was a little interesting to me because I don't know exactly what to make of it. Google Cloud has announced they're going to be getting into a little bit of the crypto craze, but not by doing crypto per se, but by introducing Web3-based services. Now, what does that mean? Not sure yet. A lot of details weren't necessarily given, but it is all about starting to offer services that will be more blockchain related and be more friendly to blockchain development as well. So I'm going to definitely keep an eye on this one. This has been an area on the side where I've definitely been trying to research and learn about blockchain specifically. The crypto stuff is, you know, I'm not as into that, but I really like the blockchain technologies and where things are going. And of course, you know, Google has some really smart folks over there to certainly put their heads together and offer these kinds of services. So that's something that is interesting to me of maybe the first sign of Web3 starting to go mainstream. And for our last article, actually, I'm going to combine two of them. We have two Cloudcast alumni we wanted to tell you about and also congratulate them as well. So Teleport, our recent Cloudcast alum, raised a Series C and $110 million. And Linear B lands, $50 million as well. So, and that brings their total to date to about $71 million. If I remember correctly. So again, congratulations to both of them. It's great to see them continuing to grow. And the last thing I'm going to mention, and the link is in the show notes, and we are a media sponsor for ApplyConf. So what is ApplyConf? It is the machine learning data engineering conference, and it's presented by Tecton. A free 2-day event. It's going to be May 18th and 19th. And so the link is there, and it's applyconf.com as well if you wanted to go and register for that. And with that, coming up after the break, we have the folks over at DigitalOcean talking about simplifying cloud for developers.
Today's show is sponsored by Spot by NetApp, providing a comprehensive suite of CloudOps tools that makes it easy to deliver continuously optimized and reliable infrastructure at the lowest possible cost. Imagine automating your infrastructure to proactively meet the needs of your applications. Imagine leveraging the latest in machine learning and automation to scale your infrastructure using the most efficient mix of instances and pricing models. Imagine running reliable applications, cutting cloud costs significantly, and making life easier for DevOps teams. From cloud cost management to infrastructure automation, Spot ensures you maximize your cloud investment. The end result is simply more cloud at less cost. Discover how the most innovative companies are automating, simplifying, and optimizing their cloud infrastructure with Spot by NetApp by going to spot.io/cloudcast to find more information, request a demo, or start a free trial today. That's spot.io/cloudcast. Today's show is sponsored by Datadog, a scalable, full-stack monitoring platform. Datadog's synthetic monitoring enables you to detect front-end errors and performance errors by analyzing user sessions and receiving actionable alerts. API tests help you detect and debug user-facing issues in critical endpoints and applications. Build and deploy self-maintaining browser tests to simulate user journeys from global locations. Start proactively monitoring your user experience today with a free 14-day trial of Datadog by visiting datadog.com/frontend-cloudcast. That's datadog.com/frontend-cloudcast. And we're back. And folks, you know, a lot of times we try and cover as broad as we can of a view of what's going on in the cloud. And I know sometimes there's certain topics that take up a lot of the oxygen in the room. They get a lot of attention. But the reality is, you know, not only is there a lot of needs for what we do in the cloud, there's a lot of different ways to go about solving that. And especially when we talk about, you know, how do we make developers successful and, you know, how do we give developers, you know, the freedom that they want in order to be able to do that without overwhelming them with things. You know, there's a lot of options out there. And one of them that really has been focused around that for a long time, and has been somebody that we've covered for a while, but just haven't had back on the show in enough time and haven't had them on recently enough, is the good folks at DigitalOcean. And so really excited to have Raman Sharma, who is VP of Product and Programs Marketing over at DigitalOcean. Raman, welcome to the show. Good to have you on.
Thanks for having me, Brian. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, we're excited. There's certain topics that I know Aaron and I we'll be talking about, and we just sort of kick ourselves and we go, you know, we haven't dug into that. We haven't talked to them in a while. We should see what's going on because, you know, at DigitalOcean, you guys, when we first started engaging with the team over there, it was, you know, it was very small. It was compute and storage. But before we dive into that, I really want to dig into everything that's going on at DigitalOcean, where you guys are focused these days. You've got a really rich background that I think, you know, when I look at it, really follows a lot of the evolution of where cloud's gone from, you know, engaging with technologies that directly are used by users to migration to things that are in cloud, in SaaS. Give folks a little bit of your background, both before DigitalOcean and then also what you're focused on these days.
Yeah, definitely. My software development experience started pre-cloud, really. There was no cloud at that time, or at least the way that we know it now.
Right.
Started as a software engineer, did that for 5 years, first with a company called Veritas. They were into storage software, and then with Adobe, doing digital imaging and video products there. Decided to go get a formal business education because I thought I was really lacking in that area. So went to Duke, got a business degree there, and then joined Microsoft immediately after that. And in Microsoft, almost my entire experience was in developer tools or cloud services. I did product management for Visual Studio, specifically the C++ developer experience in Visual Studio. And then I did product marketing for Azure platform as a service offerings. Things like integration pass, application pass, serverless, and all the developer facing compute products. So yeah, I did that for, was it Microsoft for about 11 years, had an amazing experience. But then the good folks from DigitalOcean reached out. And I must be honest, at that time, I hadn't heard of the company too much. But the more I spoke to them, the more interested I became. Because I felt like this was a company that had a laser focus on developers as an audience, which was kind of, you know, my entire career. But at the same time, they were focusing, even the go-to-market motion was very much focused on developers, not only the products, but also like developers are the people who were making decisions to adopt their DigitalOcean products. And I felt it would be an amazing experience for me, especially after spending 11 years at Microsoft.
Yeah.
So joined DigitalOcean 2.5 years ago, and I've been enjoying the ride ever since.
Yeah. DigitalOcean has been, a friend of the show for us for a long time. They've been a sponsor at one point. We've had different folks from the organization on. I know when storage first launched, we mm-hmm. talked about it on the show. But a lot's changed. A lot's grown. Give us kind of a quick overview. Where is DigitalOcean today in terms of the technology stack, the kind of reach in terms of geography? Like, kind of where are they today in 2022?
Yeah. So, yes, the company has definitely changed. We are bigger now. We went public last year, in case you haven't heard that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even before going public, in fact, at the time of us going public, people were really surprised to see our global footprint. More than 50% of our revenue actually comes from outside of North America, mm-hmm. which was unusual for a company of our kind at that stage of our journey. And we are still proud of it. We serve more than 180 countries worldwide. Wow. And we have presence in almost all the major regions through data centers, through people, and definitely customers. In terms of products, I must say, the initial stages of the company was very much as infrastructure provider, IaaS primarily. But over the years, we have grown. We have more products now, more managed products, more products with a little bit more opinion built into them.
Yep.
Things like, managed databases. We have four engines for managed databases: Postgres, MySQL, Redis, and MongoDB. We launched last year MongoDB. We also have a managed Kubernetes offering because, what kind of a cloud provider would you be
right.
if you did not have a managed Kubernetes offering? So we have that doing very well. We also launched a fully managed platform as a service offering about 2 years ago now. It's called App Platform.
Yep.
And it's basically the promise is the same, right? Instead of focusing on, infrastructure management, it focuses on developer productivity and allows developers to focus on their business problems and their code rather than messing around with infrastructure. So yeah, if you think about in cloud providers are very fond of talking about this compute continuum, like with control on one end and productivity on the other end. So we're trying to make sure that we have touch points, we have offerings across the whole spectrum,
right?
Infrastructure as a service, Kubernetes, PaaS, and we are right now working on a serverless offering as well.
Nice. Yeah, the one thing that's always been interesting to me about DigitalOcean, especially when I think about it in the broader context of, what's available for developers. On one hand, there are plenty of sites you can go to if you're like, look, I want to get a LAMP stack or certain stacks up and running, or I just want websites up and running. And then you've got some of the ways that you have access to a million tools, but none of them are really kind of there for the developers. They're just there. And whenever anybody I talk to goes, yeah, I've been doing some things on DigitalOcean. It could be a side project. It could be a regular project. The feedback is always, it's so amazing at how simple they've made everything, right? It's almost one of those, like when you go to an amazing restaurant and you almost can't explain like how good the food is. That's the way that I get from develop. And I'm curious because, like you mentioned, you guys got started when it was infrastructure. There's still a ton of your offering, is still, primitive level things, right? It's compute, it's storage, it's database, even Kubernetes. Like, what's the thing? What's the ethos? What's the mindset that, you know, that somehow you guys figure out a way to make things so easy for developers, even for stuff that's maybe complicated like Kubernetes?
I think it's a great question. And I think the answer, it may sound very trivial, but the answer is that you have to be intentional about that simplicity of the product experience. And very early in our life, the company decided that we are going to focus on delighting the person who is actually going to use the product.
Yeah.
Because in cloud, especially if you're a larger company, you know, you have to cater to a lot of different intentions. You're trying to appease the traditional IT decision makers. You're trying to appease, like, you know, infrastructure management teams. But we decided that we want to focus on the person who's actually going to sit down and use these tools and technologies to build applications. That was always our mindset. So if you have that mindset, then you know that you have to remove unnecessary complexity. You have to reduce the concept count from the paths of people who are trying to build products. So I feel like, you know, one of the primary things was focus on user, not a mythical decision maker. And then second was don't worry too much about this traditional IT mindset where people want to have like a lot of control, a lot of like centralized IT control mindset, but focus on the people who have a product builder mindset. We call it the product builder mindset. Almost invariably, all of our customers, they're trying to build something, you know, either whether it's an API, a product, a SaaS application, a streaming media application, marketplace application, whatever, right? But they're almost always trying to build an application. Even if that application only has 5 users today, but they have bigger plans. So those two things, I feel like, keep us grounded in terms of how we think about who exactly we are serving. And that allows us to make some hard calls when we are designing products or when we are designing our go-to-market strategy also, like who we are going after, what we will say no to. That's kind of been our mantra.
Yeah. No, and the saying, I almost, you know, it's the saying no to certain things that's oftentimes really hard, because there's always somebody who goes, well, but they're going to want, or they're going to need, or they had in the past. And having the discipline to say, look, you know, we're focused on this, we're going to optimize around that, I think is, it's difficult, but when you do it right, you know, it really gets recognized and noticed. I'm curious. So, you know, when DigitalOcean first got started, and it's been around for a good number of years, you know, people would look sometimes and they would say, oh, okay, you know, really good at compute. And, you know, when droplets first came out, but you know, I think there was a certain amount of, okay, there's only a couple of services. So maybe it's tiered, or it's kind of focused on like SMB or things like that. And what I'm curious about is I've seen this big change happening in companies of all sizes, especially even larger companies, where it used to be you'd have this sort of large central IT group that would make decisions and everybody had to kind of follow through, and maybe they didn't love it. But more and more we see kind of a fracturing of that, where lines of business have autonomy and independence. They own their own budgets. You know, teams are able to make decisions because, you know, they're going to go after some aspect of business. Do you guys think about, you know, kind of a size of customer, or are you mostly focused on going, look, you know, we just want to deliver a great experience. I don't care if you're a 50 person customer or a 500, you know, 5,000, you know, person end user type of thing. Is that part of the mindset, or is that become not as much of an issue because IT is, you know, their authority has kind of gotten fragmented?
Yeah, what you're saying about the authority of IT getting fragmented is definitely true. But I think I would still say that, you know, people use cloud infrastructure for many things.
Yeah.
But when it comes to like business critical workloads, people like centralized IT will invariably kick in if it is a large company. So what we see is that, you know, smaller companies like startups, small and medium businesses, early stage, you know, entrepreneurs and so on, when they come to us, they are willing to bet their businesses on us. They are willing to build the most critical applications within their companies on our cloud. We absolutely don't see any hesitation from them. Whereas when it comes to people working in larger companies, what we see is a lot of individual developers who are using, like, people who are working in those companies, people who are potentially working on other clouds during their day jobs, but they are using DigitalOcean either for learning or for prototyping or for some like early, you know, early testing and experimentation. Sometimes it does get converted into real production usage in those enterprises. But I'll be very honest, that's not our focus. We are happy. We are happy that we are able to delight the developers working in those companies.
Yeah.
We have absolutely no intention of like, you know, taking away like a huge workload that, you know, a large enterprise is running on AWS.
Right.
I feel like that would not be right for us. So we focus very much on like small and medium businesses and startups.
Okay.
And there I would say the size of the company almost doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because the beautiful thing about the technology industry is that you could be a 5% company, you could be a 10% company, but you could be building something so amazing that it requires tons and tons of compute. And you can run, like, you can spend hundreds of thousands of dollars every month on cloud. And we do see evidence of that. So it's almost always never about the size of the company. It's about the size of the ambition within that small team.
Makes sense. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And again, I think, you know, the landscape of, you know, what anybody calls, you know, a big company or a small company, again, you know, is sort of becomes irrelevant nowadays, just given what we can do at scale and so forth. Now that makes a ton of sense. I'm curious, you know, kind of getting back to the, you know, having this, you know, kind of great radar for engagement with developers and what developers want. What are they asking you for? Like where do the majority of the things that they're giving you feedback on skew towards? Is it around, you know, features and new technologies? Is it, you know, kind of different pricing models? Is it, you know, augmenting what's available in the marketplace so that, you know, they've got broader stacks they can work with? Like where do the feedback, you know, where's that sort of, you know, rolling in these days?
Yeah, I would say all of the above. So, I mean, if you think about cloud, it's at the very basic level, it's basically compute, network, and storage.
Sure.
So more flavors of compute, more flavors of like more functionality in networking and more kinds of storage databases, right? For example, we have in our droplets, we have a number of options. We have standard droplets, we have compute optimized, CPU optimized, we have memory optimized, storage optimized. You know, we are now getting requirements for like, hey, maybe can you give us more flexible droplets? What about GPU? So we are thinking about all those things. Similarly, if you think about our database offerings, we have, you know, MySQL, Postgres, Redis, and MongoDB. Again, more demand for other kinds of database engines within the managed database space. Storage, like, you know, streaming. What about streaming? What are you thinking about streaming? So we are keeping an eye on all of those things, like, you know, whether these demands, whether they are one-off, whether they're coming from a sizable portion of our customer and prospect base, whether, you know, is this the right thing for us to build at this time? So those are some of the considerations we are always having. Similarly, I would say more abstractions is almost, you know, a constant request, mm-hmm. which is we have been answering that request. For example, we built the App Platform product a couple of years ago, which is kind of a managed compute layer on top of Kubernetes without exposing people to Kubernetes necessarily.
Yeah.
And then we are also building functions as a service offering, which we'll be releasing this summer. So we are responding to more abstractions. But then if you like, you know, one step forward from that is, you know, sometimes people come to us and expect us to, you know, have, hey, people say that I was hoping to come in and have like a managed WordPress experience. You're not doing that. Like, you are giving me a Linux box for me to manage myself. So we do see customers like that also. They came in and they thought that, you know, they're just going to bring all their WordPress websites and not have to deal with that. So for those things also, we rely on some partners.
Sure.
And geographic expansions, more data centers, presence in more regions. Those are almost always constant requests.
Yeah. And I can imagine the WordPress thing, you know, just as an example, probably to some of those customers makes a lot of sense because they go, look, I had this other experience with DigitalOcean. They seem to sort of take a lot of things off my plate, or it was really simple to do. And you know, why can't I bring this other thing? This is a, you know, it's a mainstream thing I do. And so, yeah, I can see where, you know, sometimes when you're good at things, people just, you know, they just want you to be good at more stuff that's on their plate. I'm curious, you know, like I said, you know, we've talked about throughout, like, a lot of what your focus has been on is really good service. You hide a lot of things, you know, because you're kind of precise about what people should be burdened with. Do you get any sense of, you know, especially having been at other clouds in your career in the past, like, do you get a sense that the teams, the make of the teams that work with DigitalOcean services are different? Are they more, you know, more developer heavy and less, you know, people having to do ops because of what you do? Or, you know, is it, you know, are they more forward looking? They're doing GitOps sort of stuff. Like, do you get any sense of like the team makeup is different just because of the way that DigitalOcean delivers services or enables capabilities?
Yeah, I think that's a very good question, because you know, I feel like the customers that I speak to, they, you know, most of these, yes, there are some customers who have like, you know, dedicated IT teams, dedicated infrastructure teams, and dedicated ops teams in some cases. Yeah. But like in most of the cases, these are people like who are almost always trying to build a product, get it out and operate it. Operate that product, and infrastructure is a means towards that end. Infrastructure is not a way of life for these teams. They do it. It's like, oh, we write code. As just like we're writing code, code is important so that we have some logic that we can ship. Infrastructure is important so that we can continue to run and operate that logic for our customers. That's how they think about it, right? And this mindset is actually very different from the traditional IT mindset, where I feel like, you know, having worked in some of the larger clouds, I feel like sometimes the customers of those clouds desire complexity, you know, because they feel like, oh, we have been doing this all the way, you know, in on-premises. Now with cloud, we want to maintain our same processes and same tools. I don't know what the rationale for that is, but they want that. Right. In many cases, you know, maybe it's job security. You know, maybe it's like, you know, not wanting to change too much, but that does happen.
Sure.
Whereas if you look at a product builder is not married to any of the tools they're using. They're married to the idea that they're trying to build, the problems that they're trying to solve for the customers, and the commercialization of that idea and that product. So it's a different mindset. So we see like, you know, I have seen both kinds of teams. One example would be like a small six person team. All of them are developers. All of them understand front end, back end. All of them can play around with DevOps. All of them can manage infrastructure also. Then I've also seen like largish 40 to 50 person teams in which we have dedicated teams that only take care of cloud. You know, they don't code. And then there are other teams who focus on kind of, you know, building high level services and high level functionality on top of the cloud layer that the team underneath manages. But mostly what I see is the builder teams, the product builder teams.
Yeah. No, and that makes sense. And I think, you know, even your comment about you know, the trend that we do see, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, where a lot of times if you know, companies or teams go to the bigger clouds because there are so many bells and whistles there. There are so many, you know, things that you can turn on. There's a natural tendency to sort of go, well, I live in a complex world today. And like you said, whether it's you believe you have to bring that complexity with you because maybe you're trying to be consistent, or you know, it may just be as simple as like, hey, that lets me stay in control with my job, and that gives me a sense of like power or authority or whatever. You know, weird things happen, but like you said, in the builder mindset, especially if your goal is ultimately, look, if I don't have to bring any sort of baggage, I can start from scratch. I can do what I want to do, and I don't have to, you know, be burdened by things. It makes a ton of sense to not, you know, to not do that, right? Make that a distinct decision that you make.
Yeah.
I want to kind of wrap up, because I know, I mean, we've talked a little bit about sort of the things you're thinking about, but I'm curious, like, you know, beyond you know, the serverless offering and some of the other things that you're focused on, like, are there other trends that you guys are tracking right now that you feel like, you know, are sort of unique to the space that you're in, that, you know, without maybe giving away things that you're announcing, but like, you know, over the last couple of years, obviously a lot's changed, whether it's because of COVID or how we've operated or the pace that we have to operate. Any other kind of big trends that are top of mind for you guys that, you know, are coloring the way that you're thinking about where you're going with offerings, or, you know, how you're trying to engage with developers?
Yeah, so I think one big focus area for us over the last couple of years has been really trying to understand this the jobs to be done, you know, for our customers. Because, you know, one advantage of being a developer platform, a horizontal developer platform, is that, you know, if you hit product market fit, the customers just keep coming to you. And since you are a platform, they do whatever they want to do on top of your platform. You in many cases, you don't even need to understand what they're doing. But now we're trying to be a lot more intentional about understanding what customers are building on us. Is it a SaaS application? Is it a streaming media application? Are they doing something in blockchain? So we are understanding these different workloads and these different use cases and trying to see if we can solve some of the problems relevant, specific to these workloads through products or through documentation, through help, and so on. So that's one big focus for us. Kubernetes, we strongly believe that Kubernetes is here to stay. 3 years ago, 4 years ago, you could have argued, oh, it's too complex, it will die down. It has absolutely not died down. It's here to stay, I feel. So I think our approach to Kubernetes is this. We want to make sure that we have a managed Kubernetes offering, which takes away some of the heavy lifting from the users. But at the same time, we want to provide the closest to raw Kubernetes experience so that if you have any tools from the ecosystem, they continue to work with our Kubernetes offering with your Kubernetes clusters. And you don't feel like, you know, we have put a lot of unnecessary terminology, a lot of, new concepts that you now need to worry about. So that's kind of our focus in Kubernetes. Like make it fit to that product builder mindset. Don't drown people in unnecessary complexity. Yeah. More regions. We are definitely looking at more regions. One trend that we have seen in the last couple of years is definitely more and more of overall global computing has shifted to the cloud. Mm-hmm. And we have definitely been a beneficiary of that. A specific type of application that we are seeing a lot of is anything that involves online streaming. Yeah. It could be online education. It could be, collaboration. It could be media consumption, all of those things. And we tend to be kind of an attractive destination to bring those workloads because of our very aggressive bandwidth offering. We are also paying close attention to blockchain and Web3 space. We are seeing a lot of activity in that area. A lot of customers are finding us kind of a good destination to bring their blockchain workloads. We are working very closely with many of them. So again, looking to see how we can help these customers with a little bit more opinionated help. Yeah, those are some of the areas.
Yeah, no, good stuff. It's a big technology space. So yeah, being focused on areas where you're getting strong signals from the market that they want things and they want things in the way that you guys bring value is really, really important. Ramon, I want to thank you so much for the time. I'm going to wrap it up there. I know you're very busy, and I want to thank you for the time today. I want to thank you for getting us back up to speed. I think Aaron and I have made a we're very focused this year on trying to be a little broader. I think sometimes we get a little too narrow in our focus of what's in the cloud. So excited to get a chance to talk to you guys, see all the things going on at DigitalOcean. I know a lot of really good folks moving over there. Our friend Gabe Monroy is over there now. And so I continue to expect big things out of what you guys are doing. If folks want to get engaged, I'm assuming, other than DigitalOcean.com, what's the best way to engage with the teams over there?
Our Twitter handle would be a great place, twitter.com/DigitalOcean. Our LinkedIn page, or, my personal email address, raman@dio.co. Happy to hear from anyone.
Good stuff. Folks, with that, I'm gonna wrap it up. I want to thank Ramon for his time today on behalf of Aaron and I. And thank you all for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. And thanks for helping us continue to grow the show. And we will talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Cloudcast. Please visit thecloudcast.net to find more shows, show notes, videos, and everything social media.